I just like to start saying that we know, I mean, this is very logical. It is easy to have faith or to believe when things go well in your life. I mean, you know that's so true. When things go well, when the bills get paid, when you don't have any issues, you have faith. It's easy to believe when things go well in your life. But at the same time, my friends, you have to realize that it is in those hard moments that your faith gets to be demonstrated. You know, sometimes when we go through life and we have what I call mountaintop experiences, things are going well, you know, family's healthy, everything is going well, the job is good. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's easy to believe. It's almost like believing is no problem. But it's when, oh, you lose your job or something else happens, health issues. Now you have to put your trust to work. Now believing becomes more challenging. You know how it is. And it's almost like you go from the mountaintop experience to a valley. And it's like, it is there, my friends, in the valley, in the adversity, in the struggles that you're going to demonstrate to people whether you believe or not. Somebody says the worth of a soldier is never known in time of peace. You don't know how good of a soldier that person is until he or she goes to war and demonstrate. And then he gets a medal because how he or she conducted themselves at war. You know, my friends, sometimes we go through issues in our lives. We go, you know, situations that we cannot control. We tend to doubt God sometimes during those trials, suffering, and turmoils that we question God, why me? Why is this happening to us? I think it is safe to say that the majority of us at times or another, we have struggled with trusting God during those times. All of us, at one time or another, we experience what I call doubts, insecurities, like we want to see the results right there, but they're not. We all go through that at one time or another. And if you're not going right now, wait, you will. You will. That's the reality of the life we live in this world. We all struggle as Christians. It doesn't matter how mature you might be as a Christian. We're all going to struggle with doubts and, you know, unbelief at times. That we question, why is God letting me go through that trial right now? Perhaps you are wrestling with that right now. I have wrestled. In my years of ministry, I wrestled with doubts and unbelief sometimes. Like, really, Lord, is that what you want me to do? Now, the question will be for you and I to wrestle this morning is how can we overcome those moments when we experience doubts and unbelief? How can we overcome that? The text that we're going to be looking at in Mark chapter 9, verse 19 through 29. Can help us tremendously this morning. You see, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to a mountaintop. And there Jesus transfigured himself. This is what is known in the Bible as the transfiguration. What happens is Jesus is over there and the face, I mean, it says that he was shining. And it's almost like you cannot even look at him. He's the splendor, the glory of God appeared. Peter, James, and John got to see that. And so right there, when you read Mark chapter 9, Jesus is there on the mountaintop and Moses and Elijah from the Old Testament come to hang out with Jesus. And then Peter doesn't even want to go home because when you read it, Peter says, hey, Lord, it's so good for us to be here. Let's build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. It's just like he was so overwhelmed by the presence of God, by the Spirit of God, that he didn't want to go home. And you know how it is. We've all been through that mountaintop experience. Like you just went through a Christian concert, you come home, just man, you're rejoicing. Worship was so great. I mean, that's what Peter is experiencing in the mountaintop, according to the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus even told them, don't tell anybody until I resurrect from the dead. I mean, it's almost like only Peter, James, and John got to see Jesus in this way, transfigured. They got to see two characters from the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets. And at one time, it says there was a cloud that enveloped them, and then Jesus was led by himself. And there was a voice that said, this is my beloved son, hear him. So mountaintop experience, things going well. Like I said, Peter said, hey, let's stay here for a while. Let's build three shelters. Then Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they head down from the mountains. And what's happening in the valley? They get down from the mountains, and the other disciples, the other apostles, they got into an argument with the scribes. They got into an argument with the teachers of the law. That's what was happening in the valley. So if you got your Bibles with you, let's take a look at what's going on in the valley. Right after Peter, James, and John got to see this amazing picture of Jesus and his presence and, you know, the radiance of God's glory. And they get down to the valley, and this is what happened. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. If you have it, say amen. 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 It says, when they came down, who's the they here? Jesus, Peter, James, and John. When they came down to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Jesus said, what are you arguing with them about? A man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by the spirit, by a spirit that is robbed him of speech. Whenever he seizes him, he throws him into the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive him out, to drive the spirit, but they could not. Then Jesus said, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. This is something you see on a movie. You know, there's a lot of people that, even Christians, that do not believe in demon possessions, but this is really what's going on here. And that's happening in the valley. Jesus just came down with Peter, James, and John after they had that moment, that great experience, and the other disciples, Matthew, Andrew, they're arguing with the teachers of the law, and there's a father there that had a son who's being tormented by an evil spirit. And when the Bible talks about evil spirit, another word for evil spirit is the word demon, demonic possession. And you see what's going on, what that demon did to that boy. So a father with a son tormented by evil spirit. Now, the interesting thing here is the disciples could not cast out that demon. I find that interesting. You know why? Because if you go back to early Mark chapter 3, Jesus already empowered the apostles to cast out demons and to preach and to have authority. The question is, why couldn't they cast out this one? We get to that point in a moment. You see, the father said, hey, Jesus, I brought my son to the disciples, and, you know, he's tormented by an evil spirit. I mean, look at the description right there in our text. He says, he seizes him, he throws him into the ground, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. I asked the disciples to drive him out, but they could not. And then Jesus reprimanded the disciples right there. Jesus scolded the disciples because the word that Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, oh, unbelieving generation, you still do not believe. How long shall I put up with you? How long am I going to tolerate you? That's what Jesus is telling the disciples, because you lack of faith, you faithless generation, he calls him. Ouch. The New Living Translation, some of you who have that, the word will be, you faithless generation. In other words, you lacking faith still. And then he asked the father, how long has the boy been like this? Let's keep on reading. Verse 20, so they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw Jesus, immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Look at what's going on in the valley, people, right now. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has it been like this? From childhood, he answered. He has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity, have compassion on us, help us. Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible for he who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my own belief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You dead, you deaf and mute spirit. He said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus has gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. You see, my friends, I'm talking to you about, like, it's so easy to have faith when things go well. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, with Jesus on the mountaintops, they come down to the valley, and this is what they find. An argument among the other disciples and the teachers of the law, the scribes, and there's a father who brought a son with an evil, who's being tormented by a demon, an evil spirit, and the disciples could not help him. Jesus reprimanded the faith or lack of faith that the disciples had. You faithless generation, how long should I put up with you? They bring the boy. He asked the father, how long it's been like that since childhood? Now, it's interesting. The father is desperate. You know how it is. I mean, some of us are parents. Your son needs help. At least you have faith enough to know that Jesus could do something. But look at how he comes to Jesus and say, hey, I brought my son to you, to the disciples. They couldn't do it. But if you can, please help us. But if you can. Jesus said, if I can. My friends, let me suggest something to you. That father has no idea who he was talking to. Jesus, if you can help me. When you pray like that, you have no faith. If you can, you're saying like, well, please. I mean, he had no idea. He doesn't know Jesus very well. When somebody prays that prayer, if you can, please help me, you don't know that he's that powerful to help you. He shows you the lack of faith that he has. That's why Jesus said, if I can, everything is possible for he who believes. You see, when you go through the Bible, some of you that study, especially in the gospel, Jesus always applauded people's faith. Every time somebody got a miracle, what did Jesus tell them? Your faith has healed you. Your faith has done this. Oh, grace your faith. The woman who had 12 years with the bleeding, she said, if I only touch the garment, I don't even have to talk to Jesus, but if I only grab it, I will be healed. Jesus said, your faith did it. He always applauded people's faith. So this man, he said, if you can. So there's not a lot of faith in that statement. Jesus said, you can do something, please have compassion on us. Help me. My friends, perhaps that's been you. You've been asking Jesus in that way, if you can. When you ask him if you can, you don't believe that he truly can. And knowing who Jesus is, you know that he's able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. So this father in desperation. Here's the opposite. This man doesn't have much faith. And you can tell it by the request. But if you can, please have mercy on us. Most people that came to Jesus, they knew exactly that he can resolve the issue. They knew exactly that he can do it. That's why they came. But he's in desperation. It's like the disciples, they're already being empowered to cast out demons, and they could not cast out this demon. And finally, Jesus, it's almost like, you're my only option. But if you can, please have mercy on us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for he who believes. Now, the Father is, perhaps you and I have prayed this prayer. Said, Lord, I do believe, but help me overcome my own belief. That's the NIV rendition. Some translation would say, Lord, I believe, but help my own belief. I believe, but it's almost like he's saying, Lord, I have faith, but I want to have stronger faith. Perhaps that's you and me this morning. I believe, but help me overcome that sometimes I doubt you. I believe, but help me overcome that depending on the circumstances, I don't have much faith, Lord. I believe, but just help me believe more. Help me to have greater faith. That's what this father is asking Jesus right here. Perhaps it is where you are as a Christian. You struggle with faith. You struggle with believing that Jesus is more capable than what you think. You struggle with believing that he can get you out whatever it is you are, or that he will go walking with you in the midst of the storm. I believe, but help me believe more. I believe, but help me have greater faith, Lord. You do have faith, but you're asking God to help you overcome distrust, unbelief, or even doubt. Look at what Jesus did. He rebuked the evil spirit. And he says, verse 26, when Jesus said, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you. Jesus had power over the demonic forces. You know, even though the Bible says our struggles that we have It's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the dark places, the dark powers. We are struggling against those powers right now, and they're here today. In case you didn't know, they're sitting in church. They come to church too. We struggle with that, and they're listening to what I'm saying. Our struggle is not against an enemy that we can see. They come with powers, you know what I mean? Demonic forces, like this kid was being tormented since childhood. The only one who can take care of that is Jesus. You and I cannot go toe-to-toe with the devil, by the way. Jesus said, command. I mean, the demonic, when you see, every time Jesus encountered one, they say, Jesus, what do you have against us? Why do you come to torment me? Jesus is the torment of the demons. And he said, I command you, come out of him. If Jesus commands something, guess what's going to happen? Well, he commands. I command you to come out of him. So the demon, before he left, he says that he shrieked and convulsed the boy violently, and he came out. The boy looked like he was dead, so that many even say, oh, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up to his feet, and stood up. Now the whole thing passed away. You know, the whole seeing is over. Now Jesus goes indoor with his disciples, and now they have a private question. The disciples always, every time they ask Jesus privately, you know, sometimes Jesus would speak in parable. We know that's how he taught. And when they didn't understand what it was, they would ask Jesus, tell us the meaning of the parable. They have a dilemma right here because they could not cast out the demons. Let me go to Mark chapter 3. Verse 14 and 15. Mark 3, 14 and 15. Jesus selected disciples, and out of the disciples, he got 12 whom he appointed apostles. And then he instructed them. He gave them power to do a lot of things. And one of those things was to drive out demons. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says, he appointed 12, designated them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. The question, why is it then that they could not cast out this one? In case you didn't know, demonic and angelic forces, they have a hierarchy. You know, you have in the army, a soldier, a sergeant, a lieutenant. So this demon that the disciples tried to cast, the demon that the boy had, it wasn't just any other demon. This one was high in rank. And Jesus even said why they could not cast it out. He said, this kind, remember he said, this kind only comes out by what? By prayer. Did the disciples pray? Thank you, Liz. You see, I asked, perhaps we think the disciples were praying warriors when they were with Jesus. They were not. Why would they need to pray when you got Jesus walking around with you? When Jesus taught them how to pray, they said, Lord, the Pharisees' disciples pray, John the Baptist pray, teach us how to pray, Matthew 6. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father. And you never find, Jesus modeled prayer for the disciples. He would withdraw from the crowds. But they were not praying people. So when you're not praying, if you come across a demon like this, he's not going to come out. Because Jesus said, oh, this guy only comes out by prayer. Some manuscripts say by prayer and fasting. So the other demons that you say command them, boom, they're out. But this one, since you're not praying, don't think he's going to come out. This kind, Jesus said, you see, there's different kinds of demonic forces. Remember one called Legion? And remember one that they could not even tie it up because they would just break the chains? I mean, it's like different kinds. Just like there are different kinds of angels. There's angels and there's archangels. The archangels are in charge of the angels, by the way. And they're warriors. You know, and there's some of them right here watching our worship services and our attitude as well. So this demon that the boy had, like I say, he was high in rank. And the only way that you can get rid of him is by prayer. So you see why prayer is so important in our walk with the Lord? The disciples began to pray more when Jesus left him. And he told them. You see, Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the teaching of Jesus, to the fellowship, to being together, to breaking bread and eating together in their homes, and to prayer. And guess what happens? Later on, they encounter more demons, and they were able to overpower them. But here, since they were not used to praying too much, they found these demons that only prayer was the weapon to get rid of them. Prayer. This guy only comes out by prayer. Jesus, I believe. Help me believe more. I hope, my friends, that is the prayer that for you and I today. That we relate to that statement, Lord, I do believe, but I want to increase my faith. Lord, I believe, but I want my faith to grow stronger. Now, the question is, how can you overcome your own belief? How can you make your faith stronger? How can you overcome doubts and insecurities in your own faith? I find answers right here in the Bible. You see, my friends, unbelief will keep you from seeing God's power at work. Sometimes God might be doing amazing things, but you don't see it because you don't believe it. Example, in Nazareth, Jesus was raised in Nazareth. He went back to his hometown. They only believed that he was a carpenter's son, that, you know, they knew his family. And he says that Jesus did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. When we become faithless, when we don't have belief, we will not see God's work in our midst. We will not see what God can do because we don't believe that he's capable. Why would God just show up if you don't believe that he can do more than we could ever ask or imagine? So unbelief will rob you and me from seeing God's mighty hand at work. Unbelief is bad. Unbelief or faithlessness, lack of faith, will forfeit you God's miracle in your life. Perhaps you're waiting for God's blessing, but you're not going to get it because you still do not believe that he can give it to you. It will forfeit you his blessing, his provision, because you do not believe that he is capable, that he can. Lord, if you can, you're not believing him. Help us. Instead of saying, Lord, I know you can, just whenever, let your will be done. Whenever you're ready, I'm waiting. That's faith. But Lord, if you can, please. That's not faith, my friends. Unbelief steals peace and joy from your life. You know, sometimes we talk about that. David prayed this prayer. Cast me not away from your presence and restore a right spirit within me. Like, I want to know the joy of your salvation. There are Christians, there are a lot of Christians in this world that they don't even know what joy is. Now, mind you, joy is supposed to be one of the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have it. But we live lives that we don't know. We're not joyous anymore. Or we don't have peace because unbelief will steal peace from you. Jesus said, my peace will transcend human understanding. And my peace is not like the world peace. You can be at peace in the midst of turmoil. When you're falling apart, when you don't know, you're not trusting the one that can hold you together, my friends. When you look at the situation more than God, you're not trusting God. And you're asking like the Father, I believe, but help me, I don't believe. No, you don't believe. And you're showing it by your actions. Unbelief will rob us of that. So I don't know where you are right now. I know many of you might be grieving, many of you going through things. Now is the time to ask yourself truly, what do you believe? You believe that God, if God's really in control, why are you panicking? Think about that for a moment. If we truly believe he's in control, why do you panic then? Because you don't believe that he's in control, truly. How can you overcome unbelief? I have a recipe right here for overcoming unbelief. And the first one for you and I to overcome doubts, unbelief, insecurities is get to know Jesus better. Not know things about Jesus. This man knew things about Jesus, but he did not know Jesus in a personal way. How do you kill unbelief from your system? Get to know Jesus better. The more you know Jesus, the more that you will trust him. The more that you know who Jesus is and what he's capable of, the greater your faith will be in him. And you will never have to pray, Lord, if you can, because you know that the God you serve is capable and all things are possible for him. What's impossible for us humans is always possible with this great God that we worship. So the more that you know Jesus, the more you're going to trust him. The greater your faith it is, because you realize, you know, the more that I spend time with you, Jesus, it's almost like, wow, I don't have to fear anymore. Whom shall I fear if you are going with us? This man had trust issues or faithless issues because he did not truly know who Jesus is. Now, how can you and I know Jesus better? But we gotta get back into the book again. This is the only way that we get to find out who Jesus is, and so that our faith will grow, so that we continue to show the world truly that When everybody else is running around like a chicken without a head, we are standing firm in Christ, in His Word. Another thing that will help you tremendously to overcome unbelief, to overcome doubt, you need to be exposed to the Word of God. You got to read this thing, man. We got to be exposed to the Word of God. The apostles, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. How devoted are you to His teaching? Because if we don't know what He taught, there's no way that our faith is going to grow. Romans 10:17 says it this way. Faith comes from hearing. So you see, how you and I can overcome doubts and unbelief? By hearing the Word of God. Perhaps some of you are not even hearing me this morning. This is the only way that we overcome unbelief in our system. By being exposed to the Word of God. And you know, it's sad because you do a statistic in America. Perhaps a lot of people read the Word when they go to church because the minister says, hey, look it up. But you go home. Joe and I had a conversation this week. Well, you know, like he wants to get better disciple, you know, and read the Word. Sometimes you might be too lazy to read the Word or have a devotion at home. My friends, if we want to get better at following Jesus, there's no substitute than diving into the Word of God. This is how being exposed to that will increase your faith, will make you a better father, husband, wife, will make you better when you're exposed to that, because this is a manual, basic instructions before we leave earth. Bible. Being exposed to it will increase our faith. So if you're struggling that your faith hasn't been, or you've been in church for 50 some years or 20 and your faith is still the same, you need exposure to the Word of God. Bible study. Attend Bible study. Do it on your own. Read the Word so that you get to know Jesus better. And then your faith will be like, man, bring Him. Storms will come, but you're still surfing. Like somebody read it, you'll be like on eagle's wings. That's when you realize, because you're trusting in Him. But those who trust in the Lord, those who do not waive their faith will renew their strength. You know why your strength has not been renewed? Because you're not trusting the Lord yet. Will renew their strength and they will soar on wings like eagles. Get to know Jesus. Get exposed to the Word of God so that you don't have to ask Jesus, Lord, if you can, please help me. Yes, He can. Because Paul said, to Him who is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus, to Him be the glory and the power in the church from now and forever. Amen. Our God is able, my friends. He can do more, but we need to get to know Him better. And when you come to church, that's one way that you get to know Him better. When you study the Scripture as a family and devotion, that's how you continue getting to know. Paul said that you and I are to continue growing in the grace of God and in the knowledge of Jesus. Knowledge, the application of knowledge is called wisdom. All that knowledge you have in there, if you don't apply, it's useless. But the more that you get to know about that, and then you start applying it to yourself and situations that come, and then you can still be still. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. How can He help your unbelief? By knowing Jesus. By being exposed to the Word of God. He's able. He can do it. The more you know Jesus, the more that you will trust Him. My friends, if you're struggling today with that, my advice, my encouragement to you is get to know Jesus. And we know He has given us a way, a book in which we can know Him so that we increase our faith, so that we don't have to pray like this man, like this desperate father had to pray. There's many opportunities in which you can, there's Bible study running around, and then we're going to kick it back again in September, Bible study, study the Word on your own, so that you get to increase your faith, so that you get to understand that the God that you worship is greater than anything, any obstacles, any situation that you might find yourself in. And if He says everything is possible for he who believes, God is able to do what He asks. But you and I need to show Him that we believe that He's great. You and I need to show Him that we truly believe that He is in control. You and I need to show Him by being still and waiting on Him. By not praying this prayer that this father did, but saying, Lord, yes, I know you can. And in your time, in your will.